Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain masseur.
The battle for America is on.
War and the Christian ethos. Update on America's Iran dilemma. Florida wants to build its own Alcatraz. The AG there wants or suggests it should be called Alligator Alcatraz. So, you don't want us to ship them home. All right, well, we'll build a temporary home for them at least till we can sort that out. Very efficient, Florida AG James Uthmeyer said. Quote, if people get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons. Well, we might recommend loose security, right? Not to spend a lot of money on security. Just let them try to cross the swamp. Be sure and sprinkle some of OCL's bomb seasoning. Man, that's good. So when the alligators burp, that satisfied expression you'll see on their face will tell you another child abusing criminal is being carried in the belly of the gator to his maker. Anyway, Greasy Gavin, thank you, Vince, attended a wine tasting party, I understand, while Los Angeles was under assault by rioters. Huh. Another French Laundry incident here for him. One of the groups heavily involved in supporting the funding of these protest riots is Churla. And it turns out Churla funded Gavin's recall. Or his fight, I'm sorry, his recall challenge. Whatever you do, don't give power to these crazy people. They'll fiddle while your house burns. Anyway, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
War and the Christian ethos. Update on America's Iran dilemma. U.S. doomsday plane movement. And Khamenei ominously warning bad things will happen if Trump drops his bunker buster on his nukes. He warned of irreparable damage if the United States intervenes. Hezbollah and Houthis have threatened attacks on the United States on their bases, and there's concern that they'll trigger their jihad cells here. Well, I guess we didn't see that one coming now, did we? He said sarcastically, I trust you have obeyed Jesus and you are armed in preparation for the possibility of jihadi cell groups in the United States being activated. I think it's going to fizzle. God's on the move, and I think the angel of the Lord, as it were, has gone out in advance and is taking care of us. But listen, you can't be foolish. This whole thing very likely is going to fizzle like No King Day. But you shouldn't presume on God. Do you have some food stored, access to power? Are you armed to defend yourself? Jesus explicitly instructed us all not to presume on God. Don't tempt him. Don't ignore his clear instruction to provide for your family's needs, including defense against marauders or jihadis, because, you know, well, he'll take care of us. Be careful about that. Jesus wouldn't buy into that little trick. You know, jump off the pinnacle. Jesus, God said he would send his angels to take care of you. Well, Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord your God. And yes, he's promised to protect us, but we had better do what he's told us to do. And he said, get a sword and make provisions. You better be ready. Trump demands full and unconditional surrender from Iran. There are real consequences for crossing his red lines. Not like Obama. But then what would you expect from a guy who peddles around town in mom jeans anyway? Well, cute little basket there in front and everything. You can bet Trump's terms will include a trust but verify clause that will have claws. Let's just say it's going to include full-scale access to inspectors, for inspectors to investigate. And these will be inspectors of our choosing. keeping an eye on Iran's uranium procurement and construction activity to make sure there are no centrifuges centrifuging. Here's the thing. I know that the current regime in Iran will take the country down in flames before he will ever surrender, Mr. Khamenei. All right, before it'll admit defeat to America and Israel. But if Trump allowed it, they would drag this meaningless negotiation game on and on and on forever. It will never end. And I think Trump understands that. We had to make it available to them, but I think he's smart. And we all know that you could raise Iran's nuclear infrastructure to sea level, and the wicked Antichrist regime will simply start rebuilding all over again. Regime change is, in fact, the only way this might stop. But, and here's the rub, regime change, to be effective, needs to arise from within the population of Iran. And that's also true of China. An externally imposed regime change is just another imposed rule over the people. Even if you dress it up like democracy, remember the purple fingers waving at America from Iraq? Look, it's going to have to come from within the population. We can't impose freedom on them because we can't enforce the protection of that freedom. They have to do it themselves, like we did here. 1776 is your roadmap. Use it. Trust to divine providence to support you. It is the truth that makes you free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's the fundamental principle of freedom, and that's what was at work on our behalf in 1776. Confess Jesus is Lord, Prince over all the kings of the earth. That's what the Bible says. And right now, he's Prince over all the kings of the earth. Profess your faith that he lives. Believe that he rose again from the dead. He is risen and ascended into heaven, and call on his name to save you. That's the gospel, friend. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. If you call upon his name, he'll save you. Our founders understood this at varying levels of comprehension, but they all understood that Christianity is the key. Patrick Henry said to Congress that it must be remembered that America is not constructed on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's right. It's the gospel, friend. And there are some signals of hope coming out of Iran that the people there are beginning to wake up. Sadly, right now, there are so many bombs bursting in air that all the Iranians are hunkered down in their homes or getting the first plane rides out of Iran. Not much protest going on in the streets, if you know what I mean. And we understand that. But we're hearing that there are thousands and thousands, even millions of Iranians who are done with this nonsense and they want freedom. And here's the deal. I know we can wipe out Iran's present nuclear bomb-making stuff, and we can kill all their generals and their scientists, but the people of Iran know exactly what's going to have to happen for them to be free. And it's a little expression that's been coined and used from time to time here of late: death to the dictator. The successor to the original Khomeini, who required all Iranian women to wear the hijab in public, is Ali Khamenei, who has kept Iran in bondage to his predecessor's brutal and oppressive regime. Friend, they want the nuclear bomb to accomplish their vow to wipe Israel off the map. And it's their ability to play on the hatred that's inbred in these people. I said more there than I intended to, but it's true. In order to maintain their control. But the hearts of the Iranian people, especially the Persians, they're not Antichrist. They're not totally committed to the death and destruction and elimination of Israel. It's beginning more and more to look like America, where you just have a small group, like maybe say 20-30%, who are rabid anti-Israel crazy nut jobs. And the people just need to wake up and take their government into their own power. As for a U.S.-imposed regime change, that's actually what has got us into this mess in the first place. It's our CIA, not America, but that rogue CIA engaged in regime change in something called color revolutions. And then that same crowd started working on a regime change in America too. Obama came along and ominously declared America is no longer a Christian nation. Remember that?
We once were, we are no longer a Christian nation.
Well, Obama tried to Islam America. It means submit. First directly, and then through a usurped third term through Biden. The invisible hand behind the auto pen presidency is Obama. Obama, who declared himself to be Muslim and who contrived to ship over $1 billion in cash to Iran as a kind of leaving the office gift to his friends there in Iran, and maybe, I don't know, security on his promise to continue the cause, right? To continue working for the cause. Anyway, who more than once spoke lovingly of the Adan, I think that's how he pronounced it, but never could remember that line in the Declaration, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights? You know, and whose policies, by the way, that is Obama's policies, created ISIS? Yeah, that guy. Obama and his puppet Biden are responsible for the current existential threat to the world called Iran with a nuke. The nonsense some regions of Texas are playing with right now. About a week ago, Texas gave $13 million to Islamist mosques and community groups. What's going on in Texas? And this, while Muslims are trying to create a city within Texas that is under Sharia law. Maybe those two things are connected in some way. Anyway, so now we are debating whether to send our bunker buster bombs into Iran to take out a recently discovered, long-hidden, secret nuclear bomb-making facility. Yeah. The entire time Khamenei was leading us on about a possible peace deal, they were moving forward with their plans in a secret nuclear bomb-making facility in a place called Fordo, or Fordow, in Iran, in the Qom region. So my point there is we can take it out, but then they can rebuild it elsewhere. Netanyahu says Israel can take out Fordo without U.S. help if necessary. You know, it might not be a good idea to blow up a uranium facility and thereby creating nuclearized aerosol blowing in the wind. What, turn Iran into Chernobyl? So I looked into this a little bit. Let me tell you what I got here. The country is a natural wind system surrounded by mountain ranges. And these ranges create a kind of natural weather containment barrier. Obviously, the unique weather system of Iran would not contain all radiation from a bunker buster strike on Fordo, but it would likely greatly mitigate radiation spread, unlike Chernobyl, which is a 1,000-square-mile region of rivers, farms, forests, lots of small lakes. The area is relatively flat, with elevations not exceeding 500 feet here and there, 500 feet above sea level. Chernobyl is different from Iran, and Fordo especially. You would think the Iranians built this plant there with the possibility of radiation spread in mind. It's deep, 300 feet, and surrounded by mountains with a microclimate that would significantly contain radiation spread. I attached an appendix laying out information that I put together on the likelihood of massive radiation spread that might be caused by using a bunker bomb in Iran to take out the nuclear plant in Fordo. I also did some research on bunker explosion dynamics. That information is also provided here. At 100 feet or deeper, there is a, quote, high degree of protection from nuclear explosion, although no guarantee of complete protection exists, end quote. And of course, that's true of anything you do. A large bomb, like the one contemplated for use in Iran, could trigger an earthquake if there are any faults in the area of the explosion or nearby. That so happens that only a few days ago, on June 15, 2025, during an Israeli strike in that area, a 2.5 magnitude earthquake shook the area around Qom, which is about 35 miles from the Fordo nuclear plant. Iran is one of the most seismically active countries in the world. 90% of its territory is an active seismic zone. The earthquake on the 15th did coincide with an Israeli airstrike targeting Iranian nuclear infrastructure, including the Fordo facility. Please, I'm not saying radiation spread would not be a problem, and so Trump should green light the attack. I'm saying it would not likely be a Chernobyl. Now, I'll address the broader question of whether the United States should ever engage in any foreign war on the other side of the break. So hold on, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
Folks, I've gone a bit long in this segment. We're going to skip the break and just roll right along.
Stand by.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur. Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, slinging the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Come on by the Lighthouse this weekend. I'd love to meet you and say thank you to the folks there at Lighthouse for providing this radio show for you. Some of our fellow MAGA patriots do not believe the United States should ever engage in any foreign war for any reason. I'm inclined to agree in the main. These never-ending wars that go on and on and on with no clear definition of victory, no clear end in sight, Vietnam, probably the most infamous example. Our beloved founder, George Washington, in his farewell address, warned America to, quote, steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world, end quote. He cautioned against interweaving our destiny with that of any part of Europe. That's in September 17, 1796, George Washington's farewell address. But what if we stayed out of World War II? Most would agree that Pearl Harbor forced our hand. How could we ignore such an attack? Of course not. No more than George Washington would have remained neutral when Britain attacked us. And by the way, Washington was not reluctant to ask for and finally to receive the help of France against Britain. You see, things change when you are under attack, or likely to be. It's not an issue right now, but on the broader question, is it ever right for America to engage in a foreign war? Let's start here. Start with our war for independence. And then let's skip over the Civil War, because that did not involve foreign engagement. Well, I mean, some foreign powers did interject themselves. The French, for example, on both sides. But I'm going to skip over World War I also, but only because anything we would take from that example would apply to World War II. World War II is a better example for my purpose. It was Germany that targeted our ships in World War I that brought us in. It was Japan that hit us that brought us into World War II. Anyway, and we all have a kind of automatic reference point to World War II, mostly because of the Holocaust. And should World War II be a model? We did not engage in World War II until we were engaged. And then the question, you know, what if that engagement was staged, actually becomes moot. I'll tell you why. We know that Japan planned the attack, by the way, without our assistance. There was no CIA then putting together some little color revolution. Whether we knew about it in advance and did nothing to interfere, that's a separate question. The fact is, Japan planned and executed an attack on us. So what level of engagement, say attack, would be considered a reason to engage or to respond, to defend ourselves? Or at what point do we determine our national security interests compel us to intervene? And we can have some debate about that. It turns out that both Iran and the CCP attacked the very heart of America, interfering with the people's right of consent. Now, I take that very seriously. Now, listen to Bannon and Solomon discuss the revelations lately received by the FBI Director Kash Patel to Congress. I'll be back with you in a moment.
Tell the audience what Cash delivered last night.
First, we know in 21, a bunch of Iranians were indicted in Manhattan on charges that they interfered in the election and hacked into a state database to obtain voter IDs and use them against the American election. Now we know there was a second country that was more deeply involved in meddling into the election. The FBI in August 2020, so 3.5 months before the votes were cast that put Joe Biden in the presidency, FBI believed that China had begun a mass operation to produce fake U.S. driver's licenses, move them to the United States, and have Chinese citizens here on our soil, both legally and illegally, go out and get fake mail-in ballots and vote to try to elect Joe Biden. By the way, the FBI intelligence says this Chinese operation, from a Chinese intelligence source that the FBI was handling, was designed to help Joe Biden beat Donald Trump.
So, is Trump's administration bringing this forward now for a reason that relates to the fact that the CCP is actively supporting Iran in its war with Israel? And the word is out there that Iran and the CCP both were massively engaged in helping Biden steal the 2020 election. Beginning to get the picture? Don't let the lefties fool you, by the way. Trump's interest in this matter does not arise from any kind of ego. He doesn't like it when people steal from him. Do you? Trump understands that the right of consent of the governed is foundational to our government's fidelity to the Constitution. This ultimate power of the people protects our ability to protect our liberty from politicians who would sell us out to our enemies or become an enemy of the people. God himself honors the right of consent. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, and so on. Fair and honest elections provide the only way that people have a voice in defining the government under which they live. Justice fails if the people do not have free and fair elections. They are an oppressed people under a tyrant. As per usual, the liberals are out there protesting what they're doing. Trump is all about it. He's all about justice. And by the way, that's what makes him so dangerous to the enemies of America. Okay, on to the big question. What does the Bible say about all this? First, no one argues that the Bible is not a record that shows God working out his purposes in the world through wars. He sent Israel into Canaan as an army with explicit instructions to conquer the land and subdue it. He explained that he was not going to transfer the land from the Canaanites to the Israelites because the Israelites were so wonderfully righteous. Get a load of this. God speaking to Israel before they went into Canaan. Don't speak in your heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But he said, it's for the wickedness of these nations that the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. That's Deuteronomy 9:4. He measures nations and makes choices. It's really that simple. And God used his army to conquer Canaan and give it to Israel because the people in Canaan were so evil and wicked. Later, he used Nebuchadnezzar and the army of Babylon to conquer Israel because Israel had become more wicked than her neighbors, more wicked even than Canaan before them. That's how it works, friend. God appoints his sword of judgment to the nation of his choice, and he uses them to punish those nations that offend by oppression, violence, and by theft. He hates this oppression business, and he will put his sword in the hand of his servant, the servant he's raised up over his appointed nation, to execute wrath upon such. It's just exactly like Romans 13 tells us. The nation with his sword, Romans 13, is his appointed steward of the kingdom. Read my book, God's War, to get a handle on this. So some say, well, that was Old Testament. Yeah, right. And in the Old Testament, God is called a man of war. Think about that. Exodus 15:3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And the word man there is just like it's man. It means mortal. No, God's not mortal. We know that. But so when did God ever become a man? Now, this was said before the incarnation, but it was anticipating the incarnation. It speaks of God as a man of war. When the Father sent his Son to the earth, he sent his angels to announce on earth peace, goodwill toward men, Luke 2:14. Well, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, John 1:1, verse 14. He was the God-man. His Son, who was Son of Man and Son of God, recognized that those to whom he was sent would not receive him as their king. And he speaks to this repeatedly throughout the Gospels. But look particularly at Luke 19 and Matthew 21 as key passages here. Jesus said that the citizens of the earth would rage against him and say, we will not have that man to rule over us, Luke 19:14. And in Matthew, he said, the kingdom over which he is king, the king who is prince over all the kings of the earth right now, according to the Bible? I mean, read Matthew 28:18, Ephesians 1:21, Revelation 1 verse 5. Oh man, it's all over the place. And whose kingdom is above and over all the kingdoms of the earth right now, unless you think God's kingdom isn't. And anyway, read those same verses. He said that kingdom would be withdrawn from the Jews and given to, quote, a nation, bringing forth the fruit thereof. Matthew 21:43. Put it all together. Once Jesus saw the murder in the hearts of men, he said, think not that I am come to bring peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. Jesus arose from the dead, declaring, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Not some of it, all of it. He is the ordaining authority over all earthly powers. Romans 13. And he gives the sword to whom he chooses. Jesus, the Son of God, is the man of war manifest in the flesh, who gave his life for us and arose, who ascended into heaven and rules over heaven and earth from the right hand of the Father's throne. And he does that right now. And like he did while he was on earth, he always watched the Father and followed his lead. So he told us he does so now. And Jesus raises his sword against oppressors today, like his father did in the Old Testament. So yes, he prefers peace, of course. That's what he offers, peace, all the time. But he hates oppression. And he will not sacrifice his people to oppression for the sake of peace. If God has heard the cry of the heart of the Iranians who love truth, he will turn events toward their deliverance. If the people are content to live under tyranny, you know what? He'll let you serve the devil if you want to. He'll leave them in their tyranny. They've, in that case, chosen their God. If they want deliverance, they must rise. If someone attacks you or yours, you have an obligation to fight. That's why Jesus said, get a sword. It's not to butter your bread. There are times when you have to fight. Meanwhile, all we can do is what's right to be done in response to what's placed in front of us. I don't want to fight. Sometimes the right thing to do is to fight, but only fight when it's right. I'll address some of these other things I touched on Saturday night during Brain Massage Live. I usually go live at around 7 o'clock on Saturday evenings. I've lit the lamps at the Church Belfry Arch. You let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline by dialing 1-805-314-2114 and leave a message for me. If you want me to call back, let me know. I'd be glad to. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.